And all the people said, Amen. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our focus this morning is going to be on three words in verse 7. The three words are beareth all things. Let me read verses 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Help us to understand it. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives understanding to our dark, weak minds. Help me to be clear, true, helpful, that as I expound this passage of Scripture, your church would learn to exercise ever more fervent charity among ourselves. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Charity bears all things. This description of charity, the Greek word is agape. It's the idea of pure, unadulterated Christian love. The description given here by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 seems like an unobtainable goal. It is certainly the ideal for us. All of us desire to have this kind of charity. I don't know if any of us could say with honesty that we always have exactly this kind of charity. We go through it and it talks about how it's long-suffering and it's kind and it doesn't envy and it's not proud and isn't unseemly and doesn't seek its own. But really when we get to verse 7, and Paul qualifies this with what's truly unobtainable, maybe we could tell ourselves, yeah, I have the kind of charity that suffers long. Yeah, I have the kind of charity that doesn't envy. I'm not proud. We go through that list. But now Paul gives us a qualifier in verse 7. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And here is where all of us say, well, okay, I haven't borne all things. I haven't believed all things. I haven't hoped all things. I haven't yet endured all things. So I can't say that I have this perfect charity yet. The problem is when we come across commands like this in Scripture that seem unobtainable. Some other ones that immediately come to my mind. Be holy, even as I am holy. Or, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. And gave. Talk about an unobtainable ideal. The temptation is, when we read passages like that, to just say, well, that's just unobtainable. I'll just do the best I can and everyone will understand the weaknesses that come with the flesh and the ways in which I fall short. The problem with that is that there was someone who did it perfectly. There was a man who bore all things for love. There was a man who believed all things for love. There was a man who hoped all things for love, who endured all things for love. And I think you know who I'm talking about. That man is our Lord, Jesus. In perhaps the most prophetic passage, or maybe I should say one of the clearest prophetic passages of the Lord Jesus, is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. I don't know how many times I've quoted from this chapter in the pulpit, and I'm sure all of you have read it and heard it many more times than the times that I have read it. It's a very familiar passage of scriptures, but the prophecy of this suffering Savior in Isaiah chapter 53 reads this way in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's the idea of bearing something. It's having it on you. It's carrying it. Jesus hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So is there someone who we can say has perfectly represented someone who's borne all things for charity? Yes, the Lord Jesus. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 4 and verse 15 of the book of Hebrews, is describing why Jesus is the perfect high priest. And he says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. He uses a double negative. We don't have a high priest who can't be touched. So that's the same as a positive. Our high priest has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There it is. The one who bore all things without sin. The Lord Jesus. A Christian, by the very terminology, the very foundational fundamentals of Christianity, is that we wish to follow the teachings and examples of Jesus. We want to be like our Lord. The Gospels tell us it's enough for the servant to be as his Lord. That's our desire, to be like our Lord. So we ought to look to Jesus as the blueprint of what charity means, what Christian love looks like, how we are to love one another. Jesus' love was such that he took on every bit of what it means to be human for the sake of love. He bore it all. He took it on himself. He put it on himself. He came to earth and dwelt among us like a tabernacle being pitched, a tent. He came and took on flesh. In order to truly take our place, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took our place. He was our representative. In order to do that and take our place under the wrath of God poured out against sin, he had to take our place in every way except for sin. He had to be the perfect human. And that's what the scriptures tell us he was. In every way, tempted like we are, yet without sin. He bore, he took on himself, he carried our feelings of hunger and thirst and weakness and tiredness and ignorance and cold and heat and loneliness and abandonment and sadness and disappointment and on and on and on. He carried all of that. He bore all of that. Why? For the great love wherewith he loved us. That's why he came. He didn't receive and he didn't need anything from us. He came, took all that burden on himself because of love. Because he loved his bride, he laid his life down for her. So that when he died on the cross as a sacrifice, he died as a perfect representative of mankind. And when he rose again and ascended, ever to intercede for us, again, that's what the scriptures tell us, now he ever lives to intercede for us as a high priest, he intercedes as a perfect representative. Do you ever wonder if our quote-unquote representatives on earth really represent us at all? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? That maybe there's somebody in Montgomery or Washington, D.C. who really doesn't have your best interests in heart? They probably all do. Every one of them probably are perfectly pure and spotless and altruistic in their motives for being there. But I think some of them aren't. I think some of them maybe have never had a job outside of Washington, D.C. Did you know that? There are people in Washington, D.C. who have never had another job outside of Washington, D.C. And when I say Washington, D.C., I don't mean they worked as a fireman in Washington, D.C. Like, politics is all they've ever done. And they're there to represent the people. And we think, you and your ivory towers, what do you know about representing the people? Jesus does. He's the perfect representative. He really is one of us. He really did carry our griefs and our sorrows and our heartaches and our pains. He bore it, is what the scriptures say. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So now, let's put a pause to the thought that we can't really do this. We can't bear all things. Yes, we can. Jesus was fully man and fully God. Truly man and truly God. And he did. He laid for us the blueprint so that as he walked, we ought to walk. That's what the scriptures tell us. That means Christian charity is called to bear all things. With that umbrella, I've got 5 points here this morning. The next four, I want you to be under the umbrella of the fact that this is possible because Jesus did it and calls us to do it. My second point is that we ought to specifically bear with those weaker than us. This comes from Romans chapter 15. If you're in 1 Corinthians 13, just a book over, in Romans chapter 15, Paul has just finished telling the church in Rome not to put a stumbling block in front of our brother. If meat is going to cause him to stumble, we're not going to eat meat. If wine's going to cause him to stumble, we're not going to drink wine. We're trying not to destroy the work of God. We're trying to defer to the weaker consciences of our brothers. And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 15, in summary, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We ought to bear, carry, have the load of the infirmities of the weak and not be looking to please ourselves. Every time we are tempted with the thought of thinking disdainfully about someone, about a brother in particular, that means that in our mind, they're weaker than us. Right? If you have a condescending thought toward a brother, I can't believe they're that way, I can't believe they believe that, I can't believe they do this, then what you're saying in your mind is, they're weaker than me in that area. What you're saying. And if we are stronger and they are weaker, then the scriptures command us to bear with their weakness, to bear their infirmities. We ought to show the Christ-like quality of loving them by bearing their weakness. Now, we find this relatively easy when we're talking about physical weakness. Titus has a little child storybook, and at the end there's this cute little poem about those who are the strongest and the tallest and the wisest ought to help the weakest and the smallest and the sickest. And it's a good lesson to teach a young child. And you and I find it relatively easy. Now, we need to be reminded because in the flesh, we can oppress those who are weaker than us. But we find it relatively easy to bear with the weakness of a little child or to help the little old lady across the street and to bear with her slow shuffling pace. And physical weakness, we feel noble when we bear with it. They're weaker than us. Poor little thing, we pity them. Where it's hard is when we're talking about moral weakness. When we're talking about weak consciences and weak character. Take, for example, someone who's weaker than you on the issue of patience. You know somebody and they've got a hot temper, they've got a short fuse. And you judge them for that. Just a person. Can't believe they've been a Christian for this long and they haven't learned yet how to control their temper. They're such an impatient person. Okay, so they're weaker than you. You're more patient than they are, right? So then you're being patient with their impatience? You're bearing with that? That's what you're doing? Or you're being impatient about their impatience? You think God is altogether like man, like we said in our Sunday school lesson, and you don't understand why God's Holy Spirit hasn't worked on your timetable yet to sanctify this person out of this. Well, one of two things is true. Either that person is weaker than you, and therefore the Scriptures call you to bear with it, or they're not weaker than you, and why are you thinking disdainfully of them? It leaves the Christian in something of a catch-22. The Christian has to bear with the weaker brother by the way God has designed it and laid out His precepts and His commandments. So, when he tells the church in Corinth, charity beareth all things, we have as a backdrop to that where he told the church in Rome, you who are stronger need to bear with the infirmities of the weak. But it's not just those who are morally weaker than us who we are called to bear with in charity, but Christians at large. We need to bear them out of love with them and for them. This comes from Paul's epistle to the Galatians. You think this was important to the Apostle Paul? He told the Corinthians, charity beareth all things. He told the Romans, you who are stronger ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. He told the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is under the context of similar to what he was talking about in Romans, someone who has had a moral failing. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So in Romans he's saying, if your brother's objectively weaker than you, bear with him. And in Galatians he says, be careful about thinking your brother is the one who's weaker than you. Because if you think that, if you think he's the weaker brother and really you're the weaker brother, you're only deceiving yourself. You better think long and hard about who's being the weaker brother in this situation, and regardless of it, you need to bear one another's burdens. You need to carry this. You need to take this load on yourself. While we ought to have a general love for all men and bear with their weaknesses as much as we are able, there ought to be a particular love for other Christians. That we would be willing to bear with them, bear their burdens alongside them. Be a help, an encourager, a come alongsider like the Holy Spirit is for us. Here we have men and women who Jesus has decided to love and bear all things for. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about other Christians. Every other true believer in this congregation and in the world over who's really a believer in the Lord Jesus and attempting to be a follower of his commandments, here's someone who Jesus bore all things for, and so what does he call you to do? Bear all things for them. Carry it. Take the load. Jesus continues to forgive them for their sins when they come to him in repentance. Jesus continues to intercede for them before the face of his Father. And we think we've already forgiven seven times. Oughtn't we be at the end of our rope, Lord? No. 70 times seven, he says. Continue to bear. Continue to carry. Have you ever had a favor asked of you by someone who you either have never met or you barely know them, but someone you love dearly loves them? So like it's your wife's cousin, or it's your husband's best friend from high school, and you just barely know them, but through whatever medium they have, they message you on Facebook or something, hey, I really need a ride. I really need a place to stay. I really need this or that. And there's no hesitation in your mind. Well, of course. You love my wife. My house is your house. You love my children. You love my husband. What can I do to help you? This is how a Christian ought to think about every other Christian. You love Jesus? Jesus loves you? I love you then. Sure. Of course. I'll put up with some of your weaknesses. I'll bear with you. If they love you, I can't help myself. I have to love you. I love them more than anything. So if they love you, I love you. Fourthly, the bearing, the carrying of this because of charity, because of love, isn't only when it's easy. In fact, the very idea of bearing something is that it's heavy, is that it's tiresome, is that it demands sweat and blood and tears. When Jesus bore his cross, he wasn't carrying a dowel. He was carrying something that was physically even too much for him in his weakened state and had to have someone else come and carry it. So when it says charity beareth all things, it really means all things. It really means heavy loads. In the same epistle in 1 Corinthians, earlier on in this letter, in chapter 6, in verse 1, he instructs this very sinful, broken, confused church. Dare any of you, he says, that's strong language starting off with. Paul says, wait a second, you're willing to take this gamble? You're willing to take this dare to do this? Dare any of you? Having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. He says, I mean, if you have to pick the least in the church, that's still better than the unbelievers. It's to your shame that there's not a wise man among you. That's what he says. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So this is the list here. Paul says, you ought to pick a wise man out of your church to judge between these matters. Two men have a business dealing that went south. One says the other one stole money from me. Paul says, okay, then pick a wise man out that's universally understood to be someone who has discernment and can pick this out. You say, we don't have any wise men. Then pick the least out. The last thing is go before unbelievers. In fact, before you get to that step, just take the wrong. Just bear all things for charity. Just say, you know what? He can have the money. Like the lady standing before Solomon, she can have the baby. That's fine. Just let the baby live. So we ought to say, okay, you know what? I'll just take the wrong here. I certainly don't want to make such a mockery of Christ and His church before the world of the unbelievers that there's no wise men among us who can make a decision. We have to go to the world to make a judgment between right and wrong. The bearing of all things means not just, yeah, I put up with that little annoyance that guy has. Well, you know, they talk too much, but I put up. I bear all things for love. No, we're talking about when it comes to the point that you want to go to law, bear it. Carry this load. This is the same church that he says, charity beareth all things. He's explaining to them the process here of the love that ought to be among the Christian church. These were people who were so wrong that not only were they not willing to bear all things, but they were willing to put their burden on a brother. Not only were they not taking their brother's burden, but they said, you take my burden. I'll defraud you rather than taking it myself. The apostles' instruction to them was that they ought to be thinking just the opposite. That is, they should rather themselves be defrauded than to take the chance that they might unfairly take advantage of a brother. So the question then that each of us has to be asking ourselves is, how far is all things for us? How much is too much? When have we reached the end of all things? Well, sometimes the price of love in a broken, sinful world is a heavy load. And Jesus asks us to carry it. In fact, this is my last point. When we bear all things, when we carry this load, when we take this upon ourselves for the sake of Christian love, Jesus is not asking us to carry this load instead of not carrying any load. He's asking us to carry this load instead of the load of selfishness, self-centeredness, self-worship, narcissism. He's asking us to carry the load of love rather than to carry the load of self. In Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So he says, I have a yoke that you need to put on your neck. I have a burden that you need a shoulder. Here's what it is. It's the burden of a charity that loveth all things, that beareth all things. That's part of it. A charity that beareth all things. Lest we are tempted to think that God is asking too much of us to shoulder this heavy burden of Christian love that bears all things, let us consider the alternative. How heavy is the burden of self-love, self-worship, and self-service? It is not that Jesus asks you to bear the burdens of the weak and your fellow believers, even when it costs you something, instead of living a carefree, burden-free life. Instead, he asks you to bear this light burden instead of the crushing burden of self-centeredness. A life lived with self at the center, a life lived only for self pleasure, self-gratification, self-lifting up is always a life of misery at the end. There may be a season where you are living the high life. You might have taken your father's inheritance and walked away from your brother and the family farm, and you might be living riotous living right now. But you know where that life always ends? Wishing you could eat what the pigs were eating. The life of self-centric mentality, after the season that you were able to paper over your useless life, in the end, that man dies lonely and full of regrets. The person who lives givingly, lovingly, generously, open-handedly, carrying the burden of love only for the sake of love. Take an unconverted man who's a philanthropist, he gives to charities, you say he's a good man, he takes care of his wife, he takes care of his kids. That's going to be a happier life, that's going to be a more peaceful life than the totally self-serving, self-centric life. But it will be no better for them a moment after they take their last breath. They too will find that life full of giving and loving, supposedly without any love for God, was wasted too. The only life that has purpose and peace and fulfillment, not only in this life but in the world to come, that has a promise of happiness in this world and in that which is to come, is the life lived bearing the burden of loving others for the sake of your love for Christ, who loved you first. We love Him because He first loved us. When we love Christ in that way, the Christ who first loved us, we love Him in such a way that we're willing to bear the burden of love for His people, who He's put around us. That is the life that will give you ultimate happiness. Jesus' burden is the lightest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do not believe the lies of the world that the prodigal's apparent happiness in his riotous living is proof that self-centeredness is the best way to go. Believe the Lord Jesus, who for love left the grandeurs of heaven, laid down his life, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, was tempted like we are in every way, not accidentally. It's not, well, he lived long enough, he eventually got to... No, purposefully. He came to do that. He came to be tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. And when the Christian looks to him as an example of what it means that charity bears all things, instead of looking to what does your heart tell you, or what does the culture tell you, or anything else, we will find that this seemingly impossible burden is possible through him who strengthens us. It's possible through Christ. When the scriptures tell us that we've not yet resisted against sin unto blood, this is one of the things it's talking about. I don't know if I can let go of that grudge. I don't know if I can let go of that bitterness. I don't know if I can forgive that person. I don't know if I can love the way he's commanding me to love. You can, if you're his. You've not yet resisted unto blood. Keep fighting. Keep carrying. Keep bearing under the yoke. If Jesus is true, and he is, that will be the light yoke. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll close in a word of prayer and a song. Father, we thank you for your word, in which your will and your character is expressed to us. We thank you for your love, by which you left us an example of what it means for charity to bear all things, believe, hope, endure all things. I confess I'm imperfect at this, God. You know my heart better than I know it myself. So make us more long-suffering. Give us greater stamina and strength to keep fighting the good fight, to keep carrying your yoke and your burden.